All right. Welcome in. Toilets to Titles. This is episode number 120. It's the 2022 NFL Draft Recap and React with Shane Hallam at Shane P. Hallam on the Twitter. With me once again, man. I feel like you're always in that chair as my co-host this time of year, man. We have you on so much, and we are so lucky to have you as a friend of the show. Shane, how are we doing this evening?
You're good, man. I know. I'm happy to be back. It's always fun talking to you. It's always chill, and we always have some good conversations. Hopefully, some good info for the good people out there. So
for the good people,
it's been fun.
It's Dynasty rookie draft season, so some of these people listening may be our foes, man. So we're calling them good people, but it's people that we might be going to war with. Speaking of people that went to war with, me and you were in the finals last year. Two different strategies. You were smart. You stocked up on young players, and your roster is super talented. And I went all in. I made about every single move I could. I look at some of the players I got rid of last year, and it hurts. But I did end up winning a ship. But it was very fun facing you. But I'm gonna try to take some of the tips you have, because I have pick 12 in that league. So somehow I held on to my first round pick. I don't know how I did it, but I'm gonna try to hold on to some of these tips this evening. I want to let everybody know Shane's been crushing it. He's over at Draft Countdown. .com. You want to go check that out. I believe we already have a 2023 mock. I know for a fact we have a 2023 mock draft because I looked at it. Malachi Moore was not slotted in the Dallas Cowboys selection, but I know that's because his where you believe his draft stock should be and where the randomized draft order, because I can read and I know it was randomized.
Thank you. I wasn't
upset. But really, we're going to see Malachi Moore in Dallas next year. Is that correct?
Look, you called Micah Parsons, so I can't say no anymore when you make those kind of predictions. Because you told me that would happen, I was like, no way. But I'll do it. There's going to be at least one 2023 mock where I'll put him in there just for
my
you.
My man.
I think I have a 2024 mock coming out Monday. So if you want to look 2 years ahead, we'll be there.
So Dallas, I think they had a few safeties on their 30 visit. And Marquise Bell.
Signed.
We discussed early on in the process. He reminded me a lot of J'Ron Curse. It was very interesting. They have a type, but they were interested in safety, man. They were looking at a few guys, and I think some of them got taken. I know they were very interested in seeing out of Georgia. So I wouldn't be surprised if next year is the year that we go safety in the draft. So keep that as a note there.
Yeah, no, I will.
All right. Hey, so I want to, like I said, everybody go check out Draft Countdown. .com. All right. And the Devy Marketplace. Shane is always busy. He's always talking prospects. He's always grinding. And you could tell, man, that Shane needs a break.
Shane, I do at some point, but
he needs a break. Well, hopefully these next few weeks, man, because it does get pretty quiet. So enjoy the wave of the Dynasty rookie season, because I feel like in June, early July, there's nothing to talk about. So let's keep riding this wave. Everybody, if you could, if you're watching at home, it'd be greatly appreciated if you subscribe to the channel, hit the like button, throw us some comments. If you have Apple Podcasts, a 5-star review would be greatly appreciated. I did say the next person who does a 5-star Apple Podcast review and DMs it to me on Twitter at Coach Sheps is going to get a free entry into Frankenstank, which Shane is in, and he's been in since year one, and we're going on year three, and we're trying to up it from 36 teams to, I want to say, 60 teams. So we're going to do 5 12 team divisions. All right. So this thing is pretty crazy. Shane, have you kind of paid attention to some of the tweaks and changes we've been making in there, or what?
I haven't seen yet, because the draft's taking my time, and I'm going to, I'll go back before we get rolling and take a look and see. So I'm excited to see when it all comes out. And I won myself a free entry this year by winning the Toilet Bowl. So I'm excited for that and to compete again.
Did you see the cards that we're working on? I posted them in the chat.
Oh, I don't know if I did. Yeah, oh, you know what? I did. I did see the cards. Yes.
Yeah, we're working on some monster cards that are going to be draftable. There's going to be 12 cards per each division for 12 teams, and they're going to be draftable. And each card is going to have, like, you can only play it once. And once you play it, it's gone. But this league, if you're not familiar with it, it's vampire style, but there's so many twists. So I wouldn't even say it's vampire style. If you win, you could pick a player from the opponent's roster. You have to give him a player. But now these cards, you're going to be able to take them. So you could take a card. So these cards got all sorts of tweaks. Like one of them is it's like a vampire card where you could play this card and you could take like 20. So if you play it over your wide receiver position, say you got DJ Moore, you're going against let's say you started George Pickens and you're going against DJ Moore. George Pickens had 6 points this week because Shane's a Steelers fan. So I'm going to throw him a bone there and say DJ Moore had like 20 points. You could take 20% of that. So whatever that comes out to be, like 4 points, and that goes away from DJ Moore and goes towards George Pickens. So we got a lot of crazy stuff we're working on. You want to get in Frankenstank, the next person to DM me, 5-star view on the Twitter, gets a free entry in. If you want an entry in regardless, reach out to me. We will get you in this league. Also, check out toiletsandtitles.com. My Dynasty rookie tiers are going to be going up there tonight. And I believe that Nino, his are probably going to be going up there tomorrow. I'm going to try to get those in there. Steve was asking, I'm not sure if you heard this. He might have came late. But again, Shane, can you tell everybody where they can find your mocks 2023, 2024? Because Steve is hungry.
Yeah, if you go over to draftcount10.com, we have it laid out pretty well, I think. So on the top, you can see mock drafts. Just put your cursor over that, and it'll give you 23, 24. You can check it out. And by the end of the month of May, I'll have the rankings updated for 23 and 24. I'll end up with a 7-rounder for 23 by the end of the month. So just keep an eye out every week.
All right. So I want to start this thing off by talking about your thought process prior to the draft this year. What were kind of your basic expectations heading into this draft, maybe just heading into this draft class before you started scouting? What were the biggest things on your mind regarding this draft class, this draft?
So the big thing that I mention all the time coming in was that this draft was going to be deep. It's the largest draft class in NFL history. And, you know, we just went through a year where 2021, which was the smallest. So what that says is every position, just about, it's deep. There are players that went in the 6th, 7th undrafted who were better than the 4th round players that were drafted a year ago. And I think that's important to note too, from a fantasy perspective, is that those 3rd round picks that you have might be much better off than you think they will be. And so I've definitely gone in with some strategies of moving down, picking up, you know, 23 first, or picking up something that I need. And I feel like I can get similar value in the early 2nd round of rookie drafts in the 3rd round. So that was kind of the overarching thing. Like, this is a deep class, so use that knowledge to your advantage moving forward. I think that's the big thing.
How many of the players that were drafted did you actually scout?
So I missed two. I missed two out of all.
Oh my God.
Which I was so mad that I missed
two. You're mad that you missed? That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely incredible.
So last year was the first year I've scouted them all, because it was a small class. It was kind of easy to do. And this year I felt good. I scouted 1,051 players. Where I went wrong was the Colts and some other teams drafted.
Wait, you scouted how many?
1,051 I watched
this year.
This class. Yes. I have write-ups on every single one over at Draft Countdown. If you want to click on our draft guide, you can go read all of them if you want to.
I still
missed two. So the problem is the Colts and a couple teams, 6th, 7th round, just drafted super athletic guys for that did nothing, or from no-nothing schools, from Yale and from, you know. So next year, I got to go back the week before the draft and look at all the RAS scores, and I got to watch everyone on the green that I hadn't watched. So next year, I'm getting it. I'm getting every single player, no doubt about it.
1,051. How do you feel about these players, underclassmen, that don't get drafted? Do you think they should be, like, do you have a thought on that? Do you think they should be able to go back and play out their senior season, or do you feel like once they commit to this, they're done?
I think they should be able to go back. I think it would be great. Why not give them a chance to make that decision? I think football works a little bit differently just because of the timeline. If you have this draft in late April and, you know, let's say a Caleb Elby from Western Michigan, the quarterback, didn't get drafted and wants to go back, you know, Western Michigan's already had their spring game. They've already, you know, you're already in the process.
Right, at this point, transfer to a bigger program, you know, try to, you know, increase your stock.
So I think they should be able to, but I don't really, you know, especially with the NIL now, like the big problems, like, oh, they have an agent, or they, you know, I mean, now is that that's pretty much out the window. Like, why not let them back?
So now we discussed what your thought about this class was prior to the draft. How do you feel it played out compared to what you were expecting?
It wasn't too far off. Ultimately, I think I had 85 out of the top 100, something like that. Maybe not quite that much, but it was like 83. So it played out similarly. Obviously, like everyone, I was surprised the quarterbacks fell as hard as they did. I was on the bandwagon of like, hey, these quarterbacks are not going to go as high as people think. Now, I thought two, my last mock, I had two in the first round. I actually got 30 out of the 32 players correct in the first
Ooh,
round.
did you have Tyler Smith?
I had to tell you, he was in there. I didn't have, I had like no one to the right team, but I had them all in
Where'd
there.
you have him, Tennessee?
Green Bay.
Okay.
So, is yeah. So I had,
Still, it makes me
I had
happy
Treylon
knowing that
Burks
you
for
had
the
him there.
Cowboys, who I still think they would have taken if he was still
Right,
there
right.
at 24. But I had 30 of the 32. One of those two was Malik Willis. I had him go into the Steelers, and obviously it didn't happen. And the fact that he fell to the third round just to me was like, I think what it says is stick to the film a little bit. If a player's not good, teams aren't going to draft them. Like, and
Right.
that sounds stupid, but this quarterback class we pumped up, myself included, pumped up because they were quarterbacks and there weren't any. Sometimes there just aren't any, and that's okay, and that could be how it goes. And so every position, I think we need to treat that way.
All right. So, what were your immediate reactions to day one? All right. Like maybe NFL related, fantasy football related. I know you kind of talked about quarterbacks here, but what were your biggest takeaways from day one?
So fantasy wise, I think it was that this receiver group was much more liked. I mean, we're kind of hearing that pretty close to the draft that these receivers were going to get pushed up. I had some questions because the defensive class was so good, but you saw the NFL feel like there was a big drop off after those top six, right? Like once Jahan Dotson went fairly early, middle of the first round, a ton of teams that needed receivers didn't touch him again. But I think it tells me that those six are highly thought of to have gone as high as they have. So I think it's important to note that these receivers feel like they should be a little bit more valued. Am I going to do that in rookie drafts? I don't know.
Right.
Because there's so many good receivers in
And
this
a
class.
lot of them went with, they have tandems now. So it's a lot of these receivers, Treylon Burks, I think he ended up somewhere where he's the guy. But London, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Jahan Dotson, George Pickens, all of those guys have a young counterpart. Sky Moore and Christian Watson, on the other hand, those guys went a little later. So the draft capital wasn't there, but those guys have maybe a few more question marks on the field, but a few less question marks as far as where they're going to slot in the depth chart. So, it's going to be interesting. It's hard for me. I did my tiers, and my tiers are right now. You can see these on toiletsandtitles.com tomorrow. I have Drake London and Treylon Burks in tier one. I got Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, tier two. Sky Moore, Christian Watson, Pickens, and Dotson, tier three. Danny Gray, Wandale Robinson, Velus Jones, and Jalen Tolbert, tier four. So it's gonna be interesting to see which one of these guys takes an alpha role in their offense. I think we could say Garrett Wilson is gonna be the A, and Elijah Moore is gonna be the B. But Drake London and Pitts, that's going to be interesting. And then Chris Olave, Michael Thomas is there, so it's going to be fun to watch these guys kind of establish their role.
But I think you have to remember, like, especially in today's NFL, I mean, teams can support a lot of pass catchers. I mean, Drake London having a tight end that's good on his team is not a bad thing. It's good for him. Like, I think Garrett Wilson, like you said, the draft capital for Garrett Wilson just says he is the guy, and that's going to be the main focus. And I think Jameson Williams and Chris Olave will be that way too. I think Jahan Dotson's the only one where you really say, yeah, I don't think Terry McLaurin is going out the window. Maybe Michael Thomas and New Orleans for now. Who knows what's going to happen? So, no, I mean, I agree. I think it is going to be a balance in these rookie drafts of like which rookie receivers do you like? Which do I like? They're probably going to be different. And I think it's just about finding where that value is. If you can move around the board a little bit. Personally, like I'm happy with any of those guys in your first, two or three tiers. Like I'll take Sky Moore, I'll take Jahan Dotson, I'll take George Pickens. I'm fine with all
this. I'm okay with having like the 9th pick, the 10th pick, and kind of just picking what's left because I feel like the decision is not as difficult. Like top five, tough choices, very tough choices, especially if in Superflex, you know, we'll get into this, but I don't think Ritter, I have Ritter ahead of Pickett. You're a Steelers fan. Yeah, I do. I think that the fact that Mike Tomlin said that Pickett's going to have a chance to compete for starting reps is a death sentence. Because if he does not take the job, I think that creates a lot of questions. Because who is he competing with? Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph? I don't think he should have came out and said that. You might feel differently because you're more tied to the program, so maybe you might understand where he's coming from. But I just feel like he shouldn't have put that out there because now if he doesn't win the starting job, I think it looks bad for him.
I'll disagree. Like, he's not going to win the starting job. He's not.
But then why set him up for failure like that?
They're not. Trey Lance had the same thing. Patrick Mahomes had the same thing.
I don't know.
They had the same thing, right? They got to compete, and they weren't going to win it.
I don't know. Patrick Mahomes was never, I don't know. He wasn't even the first quarterback taken.
That's why Kenny Pickett wasn't taken in the top.
But he was 15. The first quarterback taken, and he's got Mitch Trubisky there with him. It's not Alex Smith, even though Alex Smith was a respected starter.
I think Mitch Trubisky is much closer to Alex Smith than you think. Like I think Trubisky is much better. He signed a 2-year deal. Like the Steelers were never going to take a quarterback at 20. When you take a quarterback at 20, they are not ready to start.
Then don't put it out there that you're going to give the guy a chance to compete for starting reps. Why
wouldn't you give him a chance to compete? What's
the
problem?
You do give him a chance to compete, but you don't say that because now there's expectations you're setting. 100% for the media, for everybody.
Who cares? What does that matter?
You don't care. You don't care.
Yeah, you don't care. He doesn't care.
No, I'm saying you. He might.
He won't. If he cares,
how do you know?
If he cares,
how do you know Kenny Pickett doesn't care?
Because if he cared, they wouldn't have taken him at 20. If you care enough that like. You know, that not getting the starting job is going to hurt.
I think it can affect him, especially like how people view this guy when he's not, regardless, you see it differently than I do.
Yeah.
I respect that. I just don't know if that was a great decision for Tomlin because we know that they're going to compete, but I don't know. All right. So clearly, you know, one quarterback went. And he is the most NFL ready right now. And he's got, you know, Claypool. They brought in Pickens. They got Deontay Johnson. They got Najee Harris. So he's in a very good situation there. And what were your immediate reactions to day two and day three?
Yeah, I mean, day two and day three was fun because we had all these receivers, all these running backs. You know, we got to see where the rest of the quarterbacks went. I thought it felt good to see a lot of these receivers. You know, we talked about Christian Watson and Sky Moore, and those guys go early in day two, go in the second round. I thought it was interesting to see what running backs kind of got pushed out. I thought the running back order was weird to me. I kind of figured it'd be slightly unexpected, but Isaiah Spiller falling to day three was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
And even the receiver, I mean, like someone, you know, we always have like, a couple random receivers just go day two that we didn't expect, and having Wandale Robinson and Tyquan Thornton. And it was, you know, it was interesting. And then I think the tight ends too is I don't know how to approach the tight end position from this class. I think the situation for McBride maybe is good long-term, but you know, for 2 years, he's going to be the tight end two on a team. It's just, you're not going to do anything. And then it's a really deep group. And so you have some good situations there in, you know, our league that we were talking about. It's a two tight end league. Like we really need two tight ends to compete in that league.
Right.
You know, taking a chance on a Greg Dulcich or Jelani Woods becomes a lot more attractive. So I do think, once again, I think it's a deep group. I think third round picks in these rookie drafts, especially Superflex, is going to be pretty valuable.
The Ravens are stocking up on tight ends, man, with Isaiah Likely, Charlie Kohler. They got Mark Andrews. The Ravens are going to be running three tight ends out there. So who, like, you had to say your top three, two or three favorite draft classes from this year. Like, which teams, in your opinion, absolutely crushed it?
You mentioned the Ravens. I think everyone's saying.
How did they get Lindstrom and Kyle Hamilton? Like how does the NFL allow them to get those players?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry, not Lindstrom, Linderbaum.
Yeah, Linderbaum. It's about positional value, right? These teams, they wanted the receivers, they wanted the offensive linemen, and so the Ravens, they're fine taking that value and taking the best player in Kyle Hamilton at a position in need, and then to trade Marquise Brown away and move and get Tyler Linderbaum. You know, once again, he wasn't got a lot of teams probably didn't have him on their board because of the short arms. Ravens will make it work. I mean, even day two and early day three, I mean, David Ajabo was probably going to be a top 15 pick before he blew out his Achilles. Mm-hmm. And then Travis Jones, the defensive lineman from UConn, I'd rated as a first round pick. They got him in the third. You know, it's just wild. And then that fourth round, like I like Kohler and Likely.
I like Likely a lot.
Jalen Armour Davis, the corner from Alabama they drafted, I think is a perfect fit. And Daniel Falele is just the Aussie sensation, 385 pounds, right? I mean, to get him in early day three, I just think it was killer. It was really good. I'll go with the two New York teams. Now, it's easy when you have two top 10 picks, I guess. It feels a lot better.
Yeah, but you could still shoot and miss.
I mean, you know. If we want to talk about the worst ones, I can talk about Jacksonville. You get the first pick and whatever. But, I mean, the Jets, you know, you get Sauce, my top cornerback two. You get Garrett Wilson, my top receiver, wide receiver two. You get Jermaine Johnson, the guy I had rated as a top 12 pick, at 26. You jump Houston to get Breece Hall, my RB1, best running back in this draft. You get a top four tight end on my board and Jeremy Ruckert. I mean, it's a slam dunk to me.
I'm excited to watch that offense this year.
It could be really good if the offensive line holds up. Like, there's a lot of potential there if Zach Wilson develops to be like really good.
Yeah, because Breece Hall, he's going to take such a load off of his shoulders. Breece Hall is very talented, you know. And then now you got dynamic wide receivers with Wilson and I like Elijah Moore and I like Ruckert. You know, I have Ruckert as my tight end too. You know, post draft, so. You know, yeah, I do think
I wish the playing time would be better for him. Like, he's going to be the third tight end on that roster for a little bit. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I think he's good. So I think it's a good call.
All right. So you got the Giants too, man, getting Neal and Thibodeau. Was he your number one going into the draft?
Thibodeau was my number one and Neal was my number two in the entire class. And they got both of them. So, like, I don't care what else you do. That's a win to me. Right. And I think a lot of the bashing of some of the other picks, I mean, maybe Wandale Robinson was a little early, but I think that could work out for them. And then,
I mean, you can afford to reach when you crush your first two picks like that. You can go with upside, you know, if you believe it's Wandale Robinson, you know.
And I think it's about, too, like getting more weapons on a team that really does lack them. They weren't going to get the quarterback here, right? So you might as well have that weapon in place. And Josh Ezeudu, their third round pick, a lot of people are bashing, but he was going to be a top 100 pick. I had him in my top 100. Like, he's going to go in the third round. So, you know, I wouldn't worry about that. And I really like, I think one of the underrated tight ends is Daniel Bellinger. They took in the fourth round, was a blocking tight end from San Diego State, bonkers athlete, can be a good pass catcher, showed some soft hands at the Senior Bowl. I don't know. Like, it's a round four pick. He's probably not going to win the starting job, but is Ricky Seals-Jones really who we want to, you know, back here? I think Bellinger could have a role.
All right. Awesome. All right. Off the top of your head, what players did you see? You know, this player went here. This was his draft capital. This is where he landed up. Who are your biggest risers after the draft?
That's a really good question. Let me look at my list here. I mean, I think Alec Pierce is a big one to me. And I feel like, maybe I'm alone. Like, I might be alone in that from looking at some of these like ADPs and things. So, you know, if I am, so be it. But I mean, for Alec Pierce to go, you know, kind of where he went for the Colts to be their first pick they made in the second round. He has the height, weight, speed. He has the experience, and they have a huge need at the opposite of Michael Pittman, right? Like, I don't know. To me, that's a big riser. He's into my top 15. I mean, I'd always take him there because people don't seem to be valuing him, but I think that's important. You know, I'll say too, like Damian Pierce, I think becomes really interesting. Getting drafted to Houston. It was in the fourth round, so
With the running back, I feel like a fourth round pick, I feel like you move them up around. Like a fourth round running back is like a third round wide receiver, you know, because of the value. Like, you're not taking a running back in the first unless he's like once in every a decade, you know?
No, I think it's a good point with him, because they also took him at the second pick of that round. Right. So it's like, okay, if he would have been picked three picks earlier, do I feel differently? I probably shouldn't.
I think Damian Pierce was one of the guys that was talked about consistently. Like the waves with him, right? There's flavors of the month during, you know, the NFL draft season. There's guys that, you know, James Cook had a month, you know, Algier early on, Rashad White. So Damian Pierce, I feel like, was one who people were very consistent about. You know, from the Senior Bowl on, there was people who really liked him. And I think the value's there. I think that's a great guy to get your hands on. You know, where do you see him going in rookie drafts?
He's starting to tick up into the mid-second round. It wouldn't even surprise me if he ends up as like a 201, 202 kind of pick here pretty soon. But you know, I have him ranked 24th in Superflex and Superflex. But you know, I'm still debating. I think between him, Isaiah Spiller, and Brian Robinson, like, it's super close to me, and I probably want to get some shares all three of those guys.
And Pierce can block.
Yeah, he's big, he's tough, you know.
So he's gonna get on the field. Like, when if you can block, you know, as a rookie, you know, there's really nothing holding you back. As long as you can understand the playbook, you're gonna get on the field.
Yeah, I think that's the key. And his competition, Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead, it's not anything to write home about. So, right. I mean, I feel good. I had him in my top 100 before the draft. He ended up going at 107. So pretty close to that.
What do you think about Velus Jones going to Chicago? Supposedly Justin Fields, like, handpicked him. And this guy's a major athlete, and there's going to be balls to be caught there too. I know I like Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney is super explosive, big time, you know, playmaker. But I think this guy, he can do a lot of the stuff close to the line of scrimmage, you know, over the middle of the field. How do you feel about Velus Jones after the draft?
I like him more than consensus. I have him as an early round three pick in Superflex, and I think he's falling to round four in most of those drafts. So I think he's an absolute value. I mean, Tennessee, they just didn't have a good quarterback, didn't throw the ball that much. We saw that with Josh Palmer, who looked okay for the Chargers last year, and Velus Jones is better than him. People knock the age that he's older, but, you know, it doesn't really matter that much. Like you said, Justin Fields got to make a list of receivers he was comfortable with. This is one of them. He's going to get on the field as a special teams guy, return guy. And I think he has the speed to do some things. He's pretty good after the catch. I don't know. I just don't see how he's not at least in three receiver sets for them. And I think that's huge for an offense that doesn't have enough weapons.
Third round pick. Another third round pick was Jalen Tolbert to Dallas. What are your thoughts on Tolbert?
You know, I'm a fan. I think it's a great fit. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think it
reminds me of when they took Gallup. I know we already have Gallup on the roster, but Gallup was a third round pick at Colorado State. Great body control. You know, I feel like he doesn't play as fast as he ran at the combine, but I feel like he's a technician. I think he's going to fit right in with Dak.
Yeah, but he gets down the field. I think that he kind of long strides some of those deeper passes. Like you said, not quite as fast as he timed, but I don't think he's too far off to give you a little bit of edge over that defense. I think Jalen Tolbert can. I really loved his curls. I really loved his out routes. I thought he had a decent route tree for a school. You know, South Alabama, the quarterback play with Jalen Tolbert was god awful. I mean, it's some of the worst that I've seen of any receiver in this class. And he produced. So to me, that's a big win.
He's pretty rocked up too. The dude's jacked. Yeah, he's solid wide receiver. All right. So who were your biggest fallers after the draft? Who were some guys you thought maybe you don't like their landing spot or you don't like the draft capital?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, outside of the quarterbacks, I'll knock basically all of them outside Kenny Pickett, and even then, it's like, you know, you don't feel great about any of these quarterbacks, right? So outside of that, In terms of falling far, let me go down my list. I mean, honestly, I don't think anyone really killed expectations for me too much that I still have ranked decently. I think Trey McBride, I mentioned before, I think that was one. You know, if he would have went to the Giants, if he would have went to a team that had an opening at the number one tight end right. spot and you feel like he's going to take it, I mean, he's going to be behind Zach Ertz. I like the passing in Arizona, but that's just killer to me. And it makes this tight end class just feel a lot worse. And I'm not super, right. super hyped up about it.
Well, especially when Jalen Weidermeyer fell off the face of the earth, you know, a few months ago. That didn't help this class.
Yeah, and you're like, come on. Yeah, I'll say a guy I didn't love coming in, and then I don't really love the landing spot. And let me know if you disagree, because I think people do, is John Mechie going to Houston. Yeah. It's like, oh, there's opportunity there, right? You have Brandon Cooks and there's not much else. And he went in the high second round. But I still think he's a complimentary receiver
right.
only. And I think Davis Mills is better than people think, but it doesn't mean he's a good starting quarterback. And so if that changes, Houston's not a team with multiple firsts next year. Like, John Mechie could really end up, plus the injury. I think it's just a lot. The landing spot, I don't think it's as good as it might look on paper to me.
What about Brian Robinson going to Washington? What are your thoughts there? You know, being there with Antonio Gibson, you think he's the better player? You think there's going to be an even split there? What are your feelings?
I like it. I think he's one of those guys that's going to get left behind because people see Antonio Gibson and say, well, Brian Robinson, or there's a lot of talk, Brian Robinson isn't that good. I mean, he produced multiple years in the SEC. He's not the fastest, not the most explosive. But it's a kind of running back they didn't have there. You know, we saw Gibson and J.D. McKissic.
Right.
Now you have a guy that can plow through the line that I think has some ability to get through the line and score touchdowns and get short yardage. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Brian Robinson ends up being more consistent than Antonio Gibson and has a little bit more success. So, I'm down to take Brian Robinson at the end of the second round of rookie drafts and taking a shot. I think he's in that mix with Isaiah Spiller and Damian Pierce as kind of the next best of the rest.
How about Kenneth Walker and James Cook, two other guys? I think Cook, he's in a good situation. It's really, you know, Moss and Singletary, but neither of them have been great, I would say. So he should get an opportunity, but they're still kind of crowded. And then with Kenneth Walker, you know, I know Carson's banged up, but you got Penny coming back. So these are two guys that are in, you know, tough situations. So, I mean, but they were both taken in the second round. So, you know, that's solid draft capital. So what are your feelings on Kenneth Walker? And then let me know how you feel about James Cook.
I love Kenneth Walker. I think this is – he's my 102 behind Breece Hall, which I know is high. But Chris Carson, I might get cut after in June. And then – Rashad Penny, who played well last year, is only on a one-year deal. I think if we were not fantasy people, we would like this situation a lot right. more than we do, because we saw Penny explode, or he won me a championship, right? And so we think Penny.
And I was really down on him, so I was talking shit the week before he went off. I was like, "This dude's a bum." I had him in my duds list, and then I gave him an apology on air. So I'm gun shy, you know, yeah, to throw dirt fair. On him.
It's yeah. like I've drafted some Penny and some best balls. Like, I felt good about it. But I think Kenneth Walker is a better pure rusher. People always say, well, Penny was drafted in the first round and he didn't get to play. You know, well, Chris Carson was there, on a rookie deal as a pick. And honestly, Rashad Penny was a lot more raw coming out than Kenneth Walker right. is. I mean, Kenneth Walker played in the ACC and then the Big Ten and has these big plays, is maybe the best pure runner of this class at running back, and at the combine showed he could catch passes. I think there's a lot to like. James Cook is tough for me. I just don't know if he's a complete running back, and maybe that's fine. Maybe for PPR, he's going to be good and they'll use him in the passing game a ton, and it's going to run through Josh Allen anyway. But I almost like Rashad White in Tampa Bay just as much. Like, you know, it feels worse because Leonard Fournette's there, but you know, they're both just really good pass catchers. I think that's what they're going to be. I'm going to have a little James Cook. I already do, but I'm not super thrilled about that spot as much as some people.
How do you feel about Zamir White in Vegas? I know you're an Ohio State guy. They declined the fifth year option for Josh Jacobs. So, I mean, I know it was a fourth round pick, but you know, I think he's fresh, you know, given that he did share touches in college. You know, I see it as I like him more, I think, than most people like him right now. And I'm trying to come out of a lot of drafts with Zamir White because I think within a year or two, I think that backfield could be his.
I do like him. I think you're right. I think he's worth grabbing. I think like when you start hitting that late second round, early third round rookie drafts, any of these running backs, the Zamir White, Tyler Allgeier, like just grab them.
Yeah.
Good situation.
I'm not mentioning Algier because I was high on him. And then like, you know, he ran like a 4.6, 4.7, and I
Four
wasn't feeling
six.
too good. I wasn't hearing much buzz on him. I see him going the fifth, but I'm secretly going to be stashing a lot of Algier because I like him. And that Atlanta Falcons, man, he's going to have availability. He's going to get touches there.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Davis got cut, like expendable now. Yeah, I'm with you. But no, I do like Zamir White. Like you said, Josh Jacobs won't be there. Kenyon Drake will be a free agent in a year. If Zamir White shows something, he has a shot to, you know, win that job in a year. And even if it's like a Michael Carter situation, they draft another guy. I mean, the value is still, if you drafted Zamir White, were you going to get him in rookie drafts? I mean, I think it's going to be a value. He's just such a smart running back now after those knee injuries that, you know, he plays tough, but is really smart and has good vision.
Right, and I do also need to mention you got to either get one of either Pierre Strong or Kevin Harris because the way the Patriots run the football, you know, one of those guys is going to at least have two RB1 weeks because they just divvy it around. I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but it's definitely going to be one of those two guys, and I don't know which one it is, but just pick whoever's available. All right, let's go back to wide receivers. I think Christian Watson and Sky Moore both fit perfectly into what their team like. I think if you would have swapped where they landed, I wouldn't like it so much. You know, I like Moore. He fits into what Kansas City's looking for, and I like Watson. Like Watson stretches the field, big body. I think it'll be very easy for Aaron Rodgers to throw this guy open, especially given his speed. You know, it's just with Watson, I think it's going to come down to, you notice with Rodgers, he wants his young wide receivers. He gets frustrated when they're not where they're supposed to be. So he needs to earn his trust at camp this year and show him that he could run the NFL route tree and run whatever they're trying to make him run in their offensive scheme. And once he earns that trust, you know, with that frame, I think it'll be easy for Rodgers to throw him open. And then just Sky Moore. I think Sky Moore is gritty. I think he's tough. He's explosive and he's fun to watch. And he plays the game with an attitude like, you know, coming from a smaller school, I'm very excited to watch Sky Moore in that offense. He's somebody who, for after watching his film, it's really easy to root for him, you know, just because the passion he plays the game with. I was a huge Dez Bryant fan, still am. And I know they're not built the same, but you could see after some of Sky Moore's catch, like he embraces the challenge, you know, going up for a ball, being smaller than somebody, coming down with it, you know, running through somebody's face. So, you know, I'm really excited to watch him in that offense. What are your thoughts on these two guys?
I think they're both intriguing. You know, I'm a big Christian Watson fan, but I'm with you. Like, I'm a little hesitant for year one
Right.
for the pack. Like, I almost feel like maybe I shouldn't draft him and then try to trade for him in a year or something, you know, if they don't utilize him. But the opportunity's there. And I think what he showed at the Senior Bowl, route running and route tree wise, really amped me up for what he could be. You know, I was a big fan of him as an athlete, a late bloomer, but I was like, whoa, you know, he has the footwork that they did not ask him to do. So I have him very high in my rankings. You know, Sky Moore, local kid here. I saw him play high school football.
Oh, that's awesome.
New Kensington and near Pittsburgh here. You know, it is what you said. I think he has some of that explosive ability. I wish he wouldn't have gotten hurt against Michigan. I really wanted to see how that game would have played out because I think that would have been very telling of how he's going to compete against, you know, against NFL teams.
We fall for Western Michigan wide receivers often. Here, you know, like Corey Davis, Dwayne Eskridge. I even fell for a running back. Was it Levante Bellamy? Was that his name? I don't know if I'm getting the last name correct,
Yeah, you
but
got it.
man,
That's correct.
they've had some dudes come out of there, but since like so far nobody's hit. Like, you know, Corey Davis has been a solid NFL player, but not as good as advertised.
And I honestly, maybe this is dumb, and I have Sky Moore a little bit lower than the consensus. I mean, still my top 12, like I still take him. But I don't think Brett Veach can draft skill position players. Like, you know, CEH was just a bad pick. I mean, maybe Cole Hardman was just a bad pick. You know, I like taking Tyreek Hill in the fifth round is different from taking a player in the top 100.
But I feel like Sky Moore kind of, he was like the last available, you know? So it might be that situation where he kind of lucks into a player because he didn't really have his pick of the litter, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It could be. So, I hope I get a couple shares of him because, like, with the Chiefs, I mean, it feels great. If he becomes the number one, he's going to be a
– People are going to be taking him early. So, you know, he might be over – like, I hear what you're saying. He might – he's not somebody where I think you're going to be able to get him in the second, and then if he pays off, like, it's great you got him. You're going to have to pay up for him, you know? Another guy I really like at SMU, Danny Gray, who ends up in San Francisco. We don't know what's going on with Brandon Ayuk. Not a similar player in a sense of, you know, going to play that running back role, but similar in the sense of when you get the ball in his hands, this dude can take it to the house. Like he's a lightning bolt, very exciting, explosive. And you mentioned it. I mentioned it. We both compared him to Deontay Johnson. You know, what are your thoughts of Danny Gray ended up in San Francisco? Is he immediately over Brandon Ayuk? Brandon Ayuk started the season in the doghouse last year. So if Debo's gone, is it Gray and Ayuk, or you think he's going to have to earn his stripes?
I think he's going to have to earn it. I mean, I think he's got to beat Juwan Jennings first. I think it might be, you know, I think he might get too excited, but I do see the potential. I mean, I'm with you. I like what he potentially can do off the line of scrimmage as a starter in kind of that explosive mold. I mean, I think it's got to be a lot like what they do in Arizona, where they have these receivers kind of slot in certain spaces. I think Danny Gray's got to be Debo's backup, right? He's going to, you know, be Debo's backup. And if Debo goes down, then that's what Danny Gray's going to do. Maybe not to that extent, but have that ability. So yeah, I'm a little bit excited. I think he's a little bit underrated. I think both the 49ers, Tyrann Davis Price as well, who was, you know, picked fairly early, picked in that third round. You know, I think the 49ers taking those two skill guys, you know, if you get either of those in round three, I think you got to be pretty happy.
Just continuing to restock skill position players, man. Like they already got it seems like a dozen of them. They got running backs at the wazoo and they just continue to restock. Got to applaud them for that. Speaking of restocking, Pittsburgh Steelers, they got George Pickens. He's an alpha. Does this mean Chase Claypool is gone after this season? Like, do you think they're just the three of them are going to be out there? They're going to be eaten. This is a long-term thing. What are your thoughts for George Pickens in that offense?
I mean, I'm excited. I do think it means Chase Claypool's gone 2 years. I think that, you know, when his contract's up, they'll probably let him go. I imagine they still signed Deontay Johnson to a big deal. But you still have that third role that there's no one to fill. I mean, George Pickens is going to fill that. Like, he's going to get on the field, you know? So I have trouble ranking him because I'm like, in a lot of ways, I like him maybe more than Chris Olave and Sky Moore and Jahan Dotson long term. I mean, the Steelers hit on those day two receivers. Like if you just took every day two receiver, you gained value. So
I got him right there with Moore and Watson. I have him in tier three, right ahead of Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, which I think is fair. I'm a little lower on Olave, I think, but I think, you know, that like we said, that late first round is fine. Like just give me whoever's left of those guys. I'm happy.
Man, I loved watching George Pickens play. I'm glad he's healthy. You know, it's a shame. You know, look at Justin Ross, where, you know, he goes undrafted. Do you think he's got a chance to catch on? Like from what you saw from him this year, do you think he's still got it? You think it's coming back, or you think he's kind of just a shell of himself and he's going to phase out?
No, I doubt we see much of Justin Ross going forward. And it's not just a neck injury. I mean, he had multiple injuries last year that had nothing to do with that. I think going through that treatment can wear you down, and he wasn't the same player. He didn't have the explosion. He didn't have, you know, he's not the same player anymore. Right. And it sucks. Like it sucks. I mean, I drafted him in high school when he was in high school. I drafted him in the Devy League, right? I'm losing out on that deal when it looked like I had a stud in the making. So I hope he can make it. I mean, I'll be the biggest fan if he does, but I don't feel great about it.
Are there any undrafted guys that you're excited about that you're going to be rostering that you think do have a chance to come on and make an impact on the offensive side of the football?
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of Abram Smith, the running back out of Baylor.
Where'd he go?
He went to the Saints, which okay. I think is a good spot, right? I mean, outside of Alvin Kamara, I don't think there's anyone on the Saints. And I'm like,
and he only played running back 1 year in college, correct?
Right, right.
So he played linebacker last year, had over 100 tackles, I believe.
Yeah.
And then this year moves to running back, has over 1,000 yards on the ground.
Kills it. I mean, he single-handedly beat Oklahoma. Yeah, like
but you got to give him something for being able to transition to like that at a big level. You know, that's why I was surprised. I didn't see him. So he went to New Orleans. Very interesting.
Yeah. So I think that's a really nice spot that I like. Jayshon Corbin, the Florida State running back, went to the Giants, who they were looking pretty hard at running back with the visits and everything. So it wouldn't surprise me if he makes the team as the RB3 and, you know, has a shot to kind of come up. Wide receiver wise, let me see where I'm at with the receivers. I kind of like Reggie Roberson, the SMU receiver, went to the Tennessee Titans, which I think they have some openings there. Yeah, we talked about. So, I mean, Roberson, very accomplished, just had injury. He got hurt this past year. I think that knocked him down. I also like Kevin Austin, the Notre Dame receiver, big, fast, went to Jacksonville, who needs some weapons. Yeah, I think those guys are they're my highest ranked.
What about Carson Strong?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Carson Strong fan, but to get him undrafted, I think it's pretty good. Like, I would have taken a shot, late, and there's some reports. I don't know if I believe them, but the Steelers, that was their second choice, essentially, was Carson Strong. They would have taken him at some point in the draft had they not gotten Kenny Pickett. I don't know if it's true, but if so, I mean, that's good. He went to Philadelphia. And I think if Jalen Hurts does go down and Strong wins that backup job, becomes really intriguing. I also like Caleb Ellaby going to Seattle. The Western Michigan quarterback, I think, fits there well and could win a roster spot. And even EJ Perry, who was supposed to go to Philly, now was going to Jacksonville. The quarterback from Brown is a runner. Has, you know, a decent enough accuracy. So, yeah, Strong, crazy to see him fall completely out of the draft. But the big injuries, like those knees, it's not good.
Yeah. All right, so let's quickly move on to 2023. We talked about you got your mock up already. Who are your top skill position players? Like, who's your QB1? Is it Bryce Young or is it Stroud?
I went with CJ Stroud. So it's tough, but I think I'll take kind of the size. I'll take the guy that's 6'3", 215 over the guy that's 6 foot 194. And that could change. I think Bryce Young, I think they're both exceptional. I mean, give me either one.
Bryce Young, you told me about, I want to say 2 years ago, when we were talking Debbie, when he was coming in. So I have him on my roster. So thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I have him on one too. So I'm hoping, you know, he smashes again this year, but I think there was just the size is a question. So I put Stroud above him, but I think it's, you know, 1A, 1B.
All right. What running backs? Who's your number one and number two next year?
I mean, Bijan Robinson, the running back from Texas, is going to be a first round pick. There's a little doubt in my mind. And everyone's like, oh, it's a running back. But I think we're going to at least have two, if not more. I have three in my mock going in the first round. I think this is a big time running back class. Robinson, 6 foot 215. He's big. He can catch. He's athletic. He moves in space. Like he's complete. You know, a little straight line speedy. But I think he's really good. And then Jahmyr Gibbs, the Georgia Tech running back, transferred to Alabama. So now you're getting a guy that's an absolute stud, who probably the best pass catching running back that I've seen in a while. And he's going to Alabama. So he's going to be, you know, if he bulks up to like 205, I mean, he's going to be really good. And then Zach Evans, a running back from Mississippi, transferred there from TCU. Once again, if he bulks up to 200, I'll feel really good about him. I mean, he just had success. TCU, you knew they were hitting the ball. He was wrecking defenses. Now you put him in the SEC. I think it's going to go really well. So those are my top three guys, and I think there's a nice tier break after those three.
What about wide receiver? Who are your top guys there?
Yeah, so number one, I have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the wide receiver from Ohio State.
Everyone should know about him.
I mean, the fact that he like completely whipped Chris Olave in terms of production. You know, he's so good playing from the slot, playing outside, body control, and after the catch does a lot. My number two is still Kayshon Boutte from LSU. Had some injuries last year, kind of didn't come back. I think he's super talented. I just want to see it kind of come out for him and see him play again. But LSU is kind of a mess. And then the next two, I'll go quick. Quentin Johnston, that's my number three from TCU. 6'4", 193, like big, fast, you know, he's tall. Jordan Addison, now probably going to Southern Cal, the wide receiver from Pitt, won the Biletnikoff last year. I think made Kenny Pickett look a lot better than Kenny Pickett is. I'll say that. Josh Downs from North Carolina is kind of the small slot Elijah Moore type, very productive. And then watch out for Jermaine Burton, a receiver from Georgia, transferred to Alabama. He's going to fill that Jameson Williams role. And that usually spells draft capital when a guy goes there.
All right. And then my last question, Arch Manning or Quinn Ewers?
Oh, that's a good question. As high school players, I would take Quinn Ewers. I think Quinn Ewers was the better high school player. You know, we'll see how it shapes out in college, but like, you know, nothing freshman year from Quinn Ewers doesn't help. I'll still go Quinn Ewers, but I think both are going to be pretty darn good.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, you crushed it once again. We are very grateful to have you on. Everybody, go check out DraftCountdown.com. Check Shane out on the Twitter at Shane P. Hallam. He absolutely crushed it this draft season. He's sure he's going to have a little bit of downtime here now, but stay tuned for his 2023. When does the 2024 mock come out?
I'm going to have one on Monday. So 2024 mock will come out then. And then, like I said, by the end of the month, I'll have a 7-round 2023. So I got a couple guys I got to watch and then we'll get that rolling.
All right. And Shane's getting ready he's going to scout every single player in the 2023 NFL draft. It's happened. You heard it in your first. Yes. All right, check out toiletsandtitles.com. I mentioned my tiers earlier on the show. My rookie tiers are going to be up there tomorrow. Nino's are probably going to be up there within 24 hours from that. If you're watching at home, please hit the subscribe button. Throw us a like. Throw us some comments. If you're on Apple Podcasts, 5-star review. Remember what I said. The next person to DM me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts gets a free entry into Frankenstein. And if you want to support the show, patreon.com/toiletsandtitles. We got three tiers, $3, $5, $10. Go to that website, check it out, and they'll tell you what you get for each tier. So Shane, appreciate you for coming on. Everybody who's been following us throughout this offseason, all of the draft season, I appreciate you for coming on. Make sure to stay tuned. We're going to help you crush Dynasty Rookie Draft season. Me and Shane, we have a Dynasty Rookie Draft coming up tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, well, do you have a pick in the first round?
I traded Dalvin Cook for the 105. Probably not a great value trade, but I'm excited.
When did you do that?
Yesterday.
Oh, man. So post-draft. So you
post-draft. I made the move. I said, look, I think in a year, I'm going to be happy with that trade.
Did you do that with Rich?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Rich posted that in the Toilets Titles chat looking for advice.
And everyone, so, I'm glad everyone told him to smash that accept. Thank you, Toilets and Titles chat, for giving me 105.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. Everybody listening at home, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you. Have a good evening, and we'll catch you all next week. Take care.